I wonder if there is such a thing as a stress meter. A stress meter. And if there was, I wonder what it would show up if we plugged into it. You'd have to put your hand up for this one. Does anyone at all feel stressed these days? Anybody have any moments of stress? Even the most fleeting one that passes by like a butterfly and then is gone. Anyone feel any stress? I think we all do. I don't think any serious person would say, no, I just glide along life's lake like I'm on a beautiful sailboat and I just glide along. There's not even a wave on the lake as I glide along. I don't think anybody would say that. But we don't really need a stress meter to let us know that we live in an increasingly stressed out world. And COVID probably has not helped to ease any of that stress, has it? It hasn't helped at all. Now you'd think that some of our stress might have been eased with the luxuries and labour-saving devices our grandparents and great-grandparents would never have dreamed of. You know, to be able to grab a meal out of a freezer. What's a freezer? Well, this little cold box. Take a meal out of the freezer, put it in a thing called a microwave, and then 5 minutes later, you've got a meal. Imagine if you told your great-granny, the day's coming when granny, dinner's going to take 5 minutes, and you're going to have steak and veggies, or spaghetti bolognese. And great-grandma would go, ah, come on. But even though we've got these things, it seems like the complexity of modern life has not eased our stress at all. If anything, our stresses have been added to. What I read of our great-grandparents is that I think their life, even though it was physically harder, was probably less stressful. You know? Less stressful. And there'd be a whole lot of factors for that. You know, we've already mentioned the stress that COVID has added, but there are other things like the ever-present threat of terrorism. How do you think you'd feel if you lived in Kabul at the moment? The financial uncertainties that are all around us, sometimes personal, sometimes national, global. The moral decay in society. Does anyone ever get stressed when they read about some of the legislation? Some of the horrible things that our governments decide is going to be a good thing around abortion and euthanasia and those things. Does anyone ever get a bit stressed about that? I do. I do. And what about the social pressure under sometimes? We want to raise our kids in a certain way and some of the schools say, oh no, you can't raise your kids that way. You've got to raise them understanding all kinds of weird doctrines about gender and stuff. Does that ever cause you stress as parents? Yeah, amen, of course it does. That's it. To put it bluntly, there are many, many reasons to feel anxious and stressed. But one thing I love about God, is that our relationship with God, is that He never leaves us to just try and make it through, just hoping that we don't fail altogether. Just hope that it just doesn't all fall completely apart for us. God doesn't leave us in that place. Just to hope we can make it through. But God has given us methodology, He's given us strategy, and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us through our difficulties, through every difficulties, through every stress, into a place of peace. Not always a different place materially. I know I say this again and again. God doesn't necessarily take us to a different place materially, structurally, or otherwise, governmentally, societally, or otherwise. Not always a change of circumstances, but a place where we can know personal peace. Personal peace. And I've certainly found that to be true in my own life. Let's just read Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. The Word of God says there, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And verse 8, excuse me. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to your word today, obviously we're talking about peace. We're talking about the peace, not the peace that this world brings, not the absence of war, not the absence of difficulties, not the absence of trial, but the peace that you bring to us that this world cannot take away, that the devil cannot take away. Lord, we pray for speaking about that kind of a peace. So Lord, as we search out this kind of peace today, Lord, shine your light upon our understanding that we might grasp what you would have to say about this important issue. An issue that is always important, but perhaps has never been more important in the day in which we live. So we just commit this word to you, Lord, and we pray that you would be glorified in it and that we'll be blessed in the hearing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's a very familiar passage of Scripture that we just read. It talks about the state of our mind, our thinking. It talks about what we set our hearts upon. And right there in the midst of it, it speaks of the peace of God guarding our hearts and mind like a fortress. Like a fortress, like a solid, strong place that we can come into. And know peace. Know that freedom from anxiety, freedom from stress. You know, the world presses us with every form of these things, every form of stress and anxiety. But God's peace stands, and we stand in it. God's peace stands, and we stand in it. We stand in it. Now, it's true that the world has its answers to the stresses we find ourselves in, and some of that is quite helpful. And we do not dismiss that or discourage anybody from seeking that help. For example, there's all kinds of self-help programs designed to help people deal with everyday life situations. There's nothing wrong with those. Hundreds of millions of dollars are spent globally on therapy and anxiety disorder programs that are designed to help people cope with everyday stress. Josie is a practitioner in that. Because obviously there's nothing wrong with it. We're not discouraging any problems from that. None of that is wrong in itself and can be very useful. Because in the end, you know that all truth is God's truth. And if psychologists or counsellors have found a truth that works in a positive and good way and a helpful way to human mind, it was firstly God's truth. That's where it came from. Not because some brilliant psychologist thought it up, it's because it is God's truth that works. There's nothing wrong with that. Is that a better truth employed in the power of the Holy Spirit? You betcha. Of course it is. But the truth, as truth, still stands. Those things that will help you deal with different ways of thinking, reframing, all those kind of things that are helpful in counselling, they all work because they're all truth. And they're all God's truth. But we are looking deeper even than that. Because whatever issues we face in life, especially as followers of Jesus, we ultimately come back to God's word and his ways. And we'll find those things, if they are true, they will not contradict God's word in any way. I believe that much of the root cause of our stress is the extreme busyness of our lives. That's one of the stressors. The many demands on our life. These can make it easy for us to forget the very reason for my existence. I'm so busy, but why am I here? Am I here to be busy? Well, we're not here to be busy, are we? That's not the reason for our existence. Why are we here firstly in the world? We're here firstly to know God and to serve Him in this world He's placed us in. That's why we're here. And we'll find that expression in a myriad of ways, including our employment, including our families, including our sports, including our hobbies, including being here in church. We'll find the expression of that service in a thousand ways. But that's why we exist. We certainly don't exist to be busy, just to be busy. God our Father wants us to be happy. He wants to be blessed, not stressed and vexed. Yet that is the way many people are. They are just totally stressed out. They find it hard to have any rest in their lives. And sadly, not everyone who I speak about that is non-Christian. That's true of many Christians. I think the most fundamental reason for overwhelming stress is because people don't know the one who gives life and peace. They simply don't know the one who gives them life and peace. And that's not true of you, because you do. You do know the one who gives you life and peace. And Jesus spoke about this in John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." He was going to be with the Father. "My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What is peace in the eyes of the world? Well, they say, well, peace is the absence of conflict. You know, peace is the absence of war. Really, is that it? Is that all we can come up with? That we'll be at peace if there's no wars? We've had seasons without wars. Certainly as a country in Australia, we've had long seasons without war. But we haven't had peace. We haven't had peace in the hearts of Australian people. Jesus talking to his disciples, and that's us, he's saying that he has given us peace. He says it's not the kind of peace that comes from removing pressures from our life. It's the peace that comes regardless of what life throws its way, your way. So it's not the peace that comes just from removing pressures from our life. It's the peace that comes regardless of what life throws our way. It is not wrong, by the way, to remove some of the external pressure from your life. That is actually smart. If you're working 80 hours a week, then be wise to remove some of that pressure and stop working 80 hours a week. If, in the case of some parents, their stress is self-induced because they take their children to every activity the child wants to go to. 3 sports, 2 musical instruments. That's a stress that could be removed. Well, you're the adult. You're what's technically called the parent. And a parent technically does what's called parenting, and a child is a child. A child speaks out of the abundance of their wisdom, which says, "I want what I enjoy, and I want it now." That's about the limit of childish wisdom. You do realise that, don't you, as a parent? It's about the limit. And that's where we all were once. I want what I enjoy, and I want it now. Or I want my friends have got, and I want it now. That's pretty much the limit of childish wisdom. As an adult, you know better. And so you could probably remove some of the stress from your life by being what we technically call a parent. You've got greater wisdom. Use it. Use it. Use your wisdom that you've got. Don't overburden yourself with stuff that you don't have to be overburdened with. Which is what our next slide says. Apart from whatever pressures we might load upon ourselves, because we do that, another relevant fact is that we don't live in a vacuum. We live in maybe one of the most stressed out times in history. One of the pressures that we do heap upon ourselves, I must say, is if we spend too much time on social media. So I haven't got time to do the stuff I need to do. I always say, how much time do you spend watching TV? How much time do you spend on social media? That is all time that you do not have to give to the things that you must do. And when we can't do the things we must do, often we feel stressed. I haven't got time to do the gardening. Well, you do. I suggest you do. you might have to trim some other things that you do not have to do. Now, social media for me is a degree something I have to do to a degree, because I need to be on social media to monitor our Facebook page, to do posts, to hear different things that are happening even in the world as well as here. But I don't have to spend hours on it. And I don't, no, I don't. I don't have to spend hours to accomplish what I must do on social media. But if I do spend hours on it, I don't have the time, or I have the pressure on my time to do the things that I must do, like preparing messages, seeing people, administering the church, all those kind of things, meeting with the elders, preparing to meet with the elders. If I feel stressed about those things, it's probably because I haven't left myself enough time from the unimportant things. Does that make sense? And I can be as guilty. I'm not speaking that out of you as you terrible people judging you. I can be guilty of exactly the same thing, and often am. So I'm just speaking out truth, not judgment, not condemnation. Simple truth in love. So, but we do, we say we don't live in a vacuum. We live in a stressed out time, and that life can throw a lot of things our way. Lots of things. And many times we feel like, why is this happening to me? God wants to know, us to know something important, that regardless of what the world throws at us, His peace is to be seen by us as a fortress. Something that guards us. His peace keeps us. Keeps us. So you ask, how do I experience this? How do I experience this? I often don't experience the peace of God that you're talking about. I simply don't. I want to, but I so often don't. Well, let's begin with an important truth that bears on the answer, and this is it. See in the slide there. We have a responsibility. I know that's a horrible word. We have a responsibility to actively receive what Jesus has given to us. To actively receive. Even though He has given it to us, we have to learn to receive it and walk in it. To receive it and walk in it. Another familiar scripture to you is in Colossians 3:15, which says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." We've been doing that with you this morning. And I'm sure even in the doing of that, even if you felt stressed on the outside of here, you'd, like me, found a place of peace, even in that singing of those songs. As Wendy and the others led us, that there was peace in that for us. So in this scripture that's up there, there is a plan, there is a Spirit-led method to follow that tells us how to let God's peace rule us, how that peace of God can be a present reality. Now, it's not automatic, but what in life is? What in life is automatic? We must obey God's word in order to receive this blessing of peace. Even though Jesus has already told us that He's left us His peace, that does not mean that we're automatically walking in it. If we were, then there would not be any stressed out or anxious Christians. Now, this is a very important point I want to make, so listen carefully. Without ignoring or diminishing the impact of and reality of mental illness, without ignoring or diminishing the reality of mental illness, especially chemical imbalances that we know impact anxiety. We know that happens. I have no doubt, acknowledging that truth, I have no doubt that if we more closely followed His precepts and walked according to His word, there would be less stress among Christians. It would not disappear, and for some the battle is harder than others. I'll say that again. For some the battle is harder than for others. I do not have a challenge in that area. And I acknowledge and recognise that some people do. So for some people it's harder. But there would be less of the debilitating pain of this lack of peace in all of us if we followed what the Word tells us to do. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do to be partakers of this awesome promise of peace? Well, we've read it, and this is the first point, is to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We have to let it rule. What is that phrase presupposing? Let it rule. What is that implication of that? I can not let it rule, right? I cannot let a decision. There's a decision there, right, George? I can not let that happen if I don't want that or if I neglect that. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. We have to allow God's peace to rule us. If we won't let it, it won't rule us. It may sound hard, and I'm not trying to sound harsh here, but I'm trying to be clear. And sometimes when you're speaking with clarity, it can come across as hardness, but I'm not speaking with hardness, I'm speaking with clarity. We have to let His peace rule. God never forces us to be a certain way. He won't force righteousness upon you. He won't force peace upon you. He won't come in uninvited. He won't come where He's not welcome. Now, it may not be your intention to be unwelcoming towards Him. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that's intentional. But when we hold on to anxiety, we hold on to those cares and fail to invite Him into the midst of our issue, that is exactly what we're doing. Unintentionally, but the net result is the same. The net result is the same. You say, I don't intend to get drunk, but if I drink 10 bottles of beer, it doesn't matter what my intent is. I've never drunk 10 bottles of beer, but I guess I'd be drunk as a consequence. It wasn't my intent, but it's my reality. And so, it may not be your intent not to welcome the peace of God in, but it still can be the reality. He wants to take that overwhelming sense of burden that we have and let us have peace. 1 Peter 5:7 says, throw all your worries, your cares, your concerns upon God because He cares for you. Throw them upon Him. And that the word there that's used literally means to use force to expel something away from you. It was like if I got this pulpit and went flung and flung it to the middle aisle there. That's the meaning of the word, expel something from your presence. And I suggest we don't often really treat our cares like that. But that's what it says. It's not always easy. How do you dismiss the anxiety of a lost job or a sick child or a broken relationship? How do you easily expel the care and anxiety around that? In our own strength, it can seem impossible. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing that with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you must acknowledge you've got the Holy Spirit in you. He dwells within you. You say, I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, Pastor. No, maybe not, but you have got the Holy Spirit in you. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've got the gift of tongues, that can be a great tool to use when we don't even know how to do these things, but we can pray in our heavenly language and we can see those things flee. But we do. We have to actively cast or throw our cares and worries upon God. And often we have to do it again and again and again. We do. And that's particularly true if you're a person who struggles in the area of I won't necessarily say it might be as deep as mental illness, but if you struggle with anxieties and stress, you might be that person who has to do it again and again and again and again. I've got some strategies, personal ones, that I employ very easily, very freely, and I can have something that's bugging me, not bugging me, even when I'm lying in bed. Gone in a moment and I can go to sleep. But I've got some strategies, I've got some techniques that I use, and I know that's not true of everybody, particularly if we've got some kind of a chemical imbalance. So I'm not putting everyone in the same boat with me or with anyone else. But if God is telling us something to do, and it's impossible for you as a Christian to do it, what is God doing to you? He's tormenting you. He's frustrating you. He's not treating you like a good father, is he? He's saying, I want you to do this, but you can't do it. That's not our good father. We can do it, but we might have to try, we might have to go again and again and again and again. And maybe not for a day, but maybe for days. And maybe get the help of others in prayer and get assistance. One way of casting our cares on God is to do something practical. Now you may have never thought of this, but writing down your cares on a piece of paper. I find this very useful. Writing down your cares. Oh, I'm anxious. You know, I've got this physical condition that's bugging me. Write it down. Dear God, this physical condition is bugging me. It's tormenting me. It's making me anxious. It's stressing me. I want to trust you. I don't know what to do. Write that down on a piece of paper. So, oh God, no, God will be offended at me. No, he won't. He already knows your thoughts anyway. But it helps you to write it down. Helps you to write it down. And then pray over that piece of paper. God, you see my need. It's right here before. You remember Hezekiah? Remember when he came? When the enemies of God were coming against him? And what did he do? He spread the accusations, the demands of the enemy out for God and says, God, look at this. It's because God didn't know what was going on. Now it was a physical thing to do that now is a spiritual thing to take place on the inside of us. And we do that all the time. You stand here in church and you lift your hands. Why do you do that? It's a physical thing that brings a spiritual outcome in our lives. Why do we even sing songs? Because it's a physical thing we do that brings a spiritual outcome in our hearts. Why do we have that thing of, particularly in some traditions, of kneeling in our prayers? It's a physical thing that brings a spiritual outcome. In some traditions, they lay prostrate on the floor before God. Do you have to do that? No, you don't have to do that. But if you do that, it's a physical thing that brings a spiritual outcome. So writing down the stuff, praying over it, can be really helpful. And then after praying about it, you might screw that bit of paper up and guess what I'm going to suggest next? In the fire. In the bin or in the fire. Light yourself a fire. You can hardly light a fire these days, can you? Anyway, I think you'll get away with burning a piece of paper. Just don't do it in the lounge room. Go out in the backyard. Get yourself a bucket. Plastic bucket. Metal bucket. And burn it. You say, Pastor, how's that going to help me? Try it. Try it. Don't say it won't work. Don't say your own no for yourself. Try it. However you do it, there needs to be acknowledgement on your part that God truly loves you and wants you to be free of this anxious burden. And it's not a denial of reality. It's just walking hand in hand with the one who sustains us. You're not denying reality. You're not saying, I don't feel that pain. That circumstance doesn't exist. You know, we're not understaffed at the hospital. God, we're understaffed at the hospital. I'm anxious about this. Help me. That's not Emma saying, we're not really understaffed. La 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 la, daffodils dancing. She's saying, that's real. But God, I give it to you and you take the anxiety of that thing off me. Do you see the difference? Do you really see the difference? There is a difference. It's not an eye of reality. The outward circumstance may not change, but you can change in the way you respond to your outside circumstances. Okay. Next thing Paul says is to be thankful. To be thankful for what? Well, where do you begin and where do you stop? With God. Be thankful you're alive unto God and not dead in your trespass and sin. You used to be dead in your trespass and sin. You used to be destined for a godless eternity. Now you're not. Now you're not. Hallelujah. That's something to be thankful for. Be thankful for God's provision and blessing. Not compared to someone else's blessing, but thankful for what you have received. And you've received so much, and I've received so much. We really have. When I was growing up, I knew that the birthday presents I received from my financially struggling parents were very different to what my more affluent friends received. Even in primary school, I knew that. I did, I knew it. I knew when I got this, and they got that, and brought it to school, and said, that'd be nice one day. I knew that. I was aware of the imbalance. Because I'd been taught about God from an early age, and I'd had drummed into me by my parents about thankfulness, I'm not saying it sometimes didn't irk me a little bit, but I was still able to be grateful for what I received. I really was. I was still able to gently say to Mum and Dad, oh, thanks for that, and enjoy the gift. And we can be thankful even for the body of believers he's placed in. You should be thankful for these people that you're sitting amongst. That you're not coming to church, you're sitting there, you sitting there, Wendy playing the guitar, and you've got a body of believers. Amen. Thankful for that so much. Have you ever considered that it's hard for God to be gracious to his children when they're not grateful for what he's done for them? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know what he's thinking about that. But start praising him for what you have got. Give him something to work with. A grateful heart. The Bible talks a lot about a grateful heart and what he can do with it. Give God something to work with. God says, well, I see that gratefulness in Stuart. I can do something with that. I was looking for reasons, but he's got a grateful heart. So I can do something with that. And then finally Paul said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Meaning, put God's words first place in your life. Keep it before your eyes on a daily basis. And we've got so many ways to get the word of God down into our life. We're without excuse. Let's be honest. We of any generation are without excuse. Peter says, I don't know how to do a daily devotional. Are you serious? And I mean that firmly. Are you serious? You've got all the access that you could want, and most of it totally free of charge. YouVision, you know, Bible app, all of it free. Free. You know, printed stuff. We have something here on Sundays. What's it called? Word for the Day. You can have it on a bit of paper, so I'm not technological. Well, can you read? Yes, you can. It's there. We've got no excuse. Let the word of Christ dwell in us. So we're dwelling on the problem solver more than the problem. It's impossible to do both at the same time. We can choose one or another. God tells us to choose life and blessing. He wants us to succeed. We are God's children, and every parent wants his kids to do well. Every parent wants his kids to do well. You know? Walker and Lucer. Their greatest desire. We want our kids to do well, right? We want our kids to be the best they can be. Well, you magnify that by 1,000, and that's how God thinks about you. He wants you to do well. He wants you to be the best. And he loves us regardless, but he wants us to do well. He wants us to know his blessing. And it's truly hard to have an anxious heart if we have really cast our burden on him, if we're praising him and giving him thanks. I'm convinced that we place ourselves in a position to receive more of God's blessing. I'm convinced about that. So let's go quickly back to where we started with Philippians 4:6-8. It goes hand in hand. You could put those two passages together, and I'm not going to read it again, but we know about freedom from anxiety and prayer and petition and thanksgiving and thinking right. It's like a bunch of steps to take to get God's peace. You know, we've been sold a lie by our modern world that says instant success is the thing. Well, instant success is not often a reality. Instant coffee is about as close to reality as it gets. But as far as things in our life, you don't get instant fitness. You don't get instant healthiness. You don't get instant whole lot of stuff. You don't get instant degrees. You don't get instant masters. You don't get instant qualification as an apprentice. We work on these things, the step by step, precept by precept. And so it is with the Word of God. If we don't want to follow His precepts, we might miss out on results. So number one, don't be anxious about anything. It means don't worry. It says if you're facing God and His Word, then we won't be worried. We can't walk in worry and faith at the same time. And we've already talked about some strategies to help us do that. But in everything by prayer and supplication, simply by going to the Father in Jesus' name and making our requests known to Him. Never get tired of coming before God in prayer because of your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances weary you of coming before God. Remember that God wants to meet your need in relationship with you, just like a human parent does. Human parent just doesn't want to give their kids everything without relationship. You know, just want to dole out stuff and not have any relationship. We want to fill needs in the midst of relationship, and so does God. With thanksgiving, thanking Him that He does indeed hear our prayers and thanking Him for the answer. Being thankful always. Letting our requests be made known to God. His Word even tells us what to pray. We're to pray according to His will. We're to pray according to His Word. So He even tells us how to sculpt our prayers. And that last part, finally, brethren, whatever is true, honourable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, excellent, worthy of praise, think about these things. In other words, don't let your mind just wander here and there and everywhere. Just thinking what it wants to think. And that's, again, I'll come back to social media or the media on the news. You know, I try to even be not to be gluttonous of ABC24, which is my preferred channel. But any of the news stations, try not to be gluttonous about. You know, Jason and I will get the highlights, probably the first 10 minutes, because all the news has been given by then. You know, after that, it's a dog that went down a hole. And pretty much, you know, someone, gender-related thing, I don't know. But the news is pretty much finished in 5 minutes, and then we'll flip off it. We'll go and do something more productive, less stressful. So don't let your mind just wander here and there. By thinking God's thoughts, by the grace of God, we put ourselves in a good place for God's peace to guard our hearts and our minds. And we won't so easily be overwhelmed. I'm the same as you. I feel overwhelmed at times. When I saw those distressing pictures on the tarmac and all that kind of thing, I'm not inhuman. I'm overwhelmed by that as well. I thought, oh God, that looks impossible. You know, when I see people riding dodgem cars in Kabul with AK-47s, I think, what naughty land are we living in? What world is this? You know, so I'm not speaking about something I don't understand. But I believe that God can help us. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How good it is to know that it's possible to know God's peace today. The peace that comes firstly with receiving Christ as Lord and Saviour. And we can do that today. You know, anyone online has never done that. You can receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour today. And that's the first base of receiving His peace. And then that peace is established and built upon as we learn to trust Him and follow direction of His Word. Remember this, the path of peace is exactly that. It is a pathway and not a destination. It's a journey. Not till we see Him face to face will we have arrived at the destination of perfect peace. And we will. There'll be no anxiety, there'll be no care, there'll be no stress in heaven. But we haven't arrived there yet. So the destination of perfect peace is not ours yet. We're on a journey of peace. A journey of peace. Walking with God. So let His peace in. Let His peace in. And then cultivate it by faith and trust in Him. Amen. Let's stand together as we close. Lord, as we just close this time around Your word, Lord, first thing, I thank You, Lord, that You see our anxiety. You see our care. You see our stress. You see the pressures on us. You see the things that cause us to feel the way we feel. And Lord, I know that You do not blame us for our human reactions. That even Jesus, as You walked with us, You understand how our minds tick. You understand how our emotions tick. So Lord, first of all, I thank You, Lord, You understand us. You understand us. You have compassion on us in our weakness. But Lord, You also reach out to us and say, I don't want You to stay there. I want You to come into my place of peace. I want You to experience the peace that only I can give and that the world cannot take away from You. Lord, I thank You that You have on offer to us something wonderful, something special, something attainable in that peace that You grant to Your children. So Lord, help us to trust in You. Help us to actively cast our cares upon You. Help us to walk in Your word and Your spirit so that we hear Your voice above the clamour of this world. About the clamour of the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations that are round about us. Lord, we do not ignore those things. Lord, we pray for those things. We help when we can in those things. But Lord, we refuse to be burdened with those things. Because Lord, You have taken the burden on Your shoulders. You have taken all of our burdens on the cross of Calvary and indeed the burdens of this whole world. And we are thankful for that today. And Lord, we invite Your peace afresh again today to come in and inhabit our minds, our souls, our spirits, our bodies, our walk before You in this world. And we pray for Your help in this, Lord, because we are not enough in ourselves. We pray for Your help in this through Jesus' mighty power and His mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hope you can stay and have some fellowship with us. And we're going to draw the circle around again so we can be COVID safe. We're going to have our connection of chairs around. So if you're at the back of the church, if you could just move fairly quickly so we can move the chairs around a circle. The guys who were here last week, could you help with that please? So that we've got that space set out. Thank you.